It's Wednesday, October 30th, 2013, and you're listening to episode 317 of Fear the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games and a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 30 minutes. Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
This is Julia.
My name's Chad.
My name's Pat.
This is Chris.
I want to give you guys a real quick update just kind of on where the show is at, because a while back I mentioned that we were having to cut to shorter episodes because of a throat issue that I'm dealing with. I came to find out that 6 to 8 weeks is actually the optimistic healing time. It can actually take 6 months or even longer for this to heal. So the good news is I am doing better. I'm doing a hell of a lot better than I was when I first announced it on the show. At that point, it had gotten so bad that it was an all-day, everyday sort of affair. It has improved dramatically from there to where now it's only sometimes some of the days, but I am still dealing with this. So what we have decided to do is we took a look at the calendar, and for anyone not aware, we record on Tuesdays, and we saw that both Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve fall on Tuesdays anyway. And so this holiday season is going to mess with us hardcore. So as a result, between my throat and the holiday seasons, we've decided we are going to stick with the shorter shows at least for a little bit longer. And then I'm hoping once we get past the holidays, presuming my throat continues on a positive path, and, you know, when they go back and reexamine it, they tell me indeed it is looking better, we can resume our prior show length of the 50 to 70 minute shows instead of the 20 to 35 minute shows. So anyway, just bear with us on that a little bit longer, and we will at least keep some amount of content coming out every week for you guys to enjoy or recoil in horror at. Speaking of recoil in horror, all right.
Yeah.
Chad and Julia, you two started off a topic last time and said that you could carry it for a show, so go.
Well, we can carry it for like 2 or 3 minutes, I guess.
Oh,
well, that's all you need, right, Chad?
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what?
Hey, that's for Julie's pleasure.
Wait.
What?
She doesn't take that long.
Whoa.
So that's the example of what we're going to try and talk about.
I like how she's like pressing her headphones closer, like
so she can hear it better.
No, like, I didn't hear that right.
Speak slower, Pat.
My head is too small for these, and they almost flew off the back of my head.
Well, yeah. If you want to bring earbuds, you're welcome to use those.
It's true, I do.
Woo-hoo. So, what we're talking about today is what happens when your game, I was going to say, goes off the rails. What if it goes in the gutter? You know, I mean, you're playing a serious game, or even a comedy game. The intention is not you're playing like a Pat level Monster Hearts campaign where it's just like sex, 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 sex all the time.
I'm sorry you're not, because, man, are you missing out?
Sure.
Or like when Pat's playing a Battletech game and it's sex, 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 sex all the time.
Or when Pat's playing a game, period.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, there's no sex.
I can imagine he climbs into bed with Beth and she's just like, hey, honey, want to get it running? And he's like, I'm going to need some dice and some character sheets first.
Trust me, I'm into role playing.
Don't fist bump.
I can't leave him hanging.
You can.
Just, I want you to know that when Pat's up there with Beth, what he's thinking about is Chad and my NPCs.
That's right.
We should probably put like a PG-30 this episode.
This is guidance for anyone who's 30.
These people know me. Come on.
Well, and I have already long said that this is a PG-13 show.
Yes.
So if it can be on primetime TV or radio,
that's true.
So,
and have all right, you seen primetime lately?
Let's roll it on back here. What we're trying to say is what happens when your game really goes away from what you're intending it to be. It doesn't even have to be go straight into the gutter. But what happens just through player action, the game gets highly sexualized, or it gets really coarse and broad. And maybe you're playing a serious game, and then everybody really starts joking around. They're playing, they're in character.
But they're all getting slapstick.
Yeah. And they're not trying to derail the game. In fact, the game isn't being derailed.
Right.
Everyone's still having fun.
Everyone's still having fun. The story's moving forward. You're hitting all your points.
And we're not talking about derailed here in the sense that they're not playing the plot.
Mm-hmm.
The game is still moving forward, but the mood that you were trying to create has
been very ribaldry.
Yes.
Yes, it's been hijacked.
Yeah. You're going for a serious game, and suddenly it turns into frat humor. Game's going great, but it ain't dark anymore.
Let me ask a real simple question here, and this is since I'm not exactly moderating, like I say, I'm moderating, I'm just not leading the topic here.
You're being very moderate about your moderation.
But I do have an honest question for you guys. Is that a problem?
From a GM's perspective, hell yeah. And I appreciate being sophomoric just as much as everybody else does, and I participate in about as much as everybody else does. But if I'm going into this thinking I want to actually have something serious, something, you know, deep or meaningful out of all of this, and then suddenly my players start,
you know,
side
Pat off. I just want you to know.
What's that?
You've already set Pat off.
If I'm not in the mood for that sort of thing,
God
so
damn
to speak,
it, Chris.
It becomes, from a GM standpoint, it becomes a little bit upsetting.
Do you cry when you're done?
Do I cry when the session's over? When this happens? Yes, all the time.
Oh my.
Okay, so I guess it could be a bad thing, and that the game master, I'm not in favor of the plot rails by any stretch of the imagination, but certainly the game master, when they come to a game, there is something they're trying to get out of that game. And if they've got a serious game and everyone's turned it into the Three Stooges, that can feel kind of insulting. Even if it's not insulting, it's still like, hey, I came trying to tell, you know, a horror story.
I think,
and you guys have turned this into
ribald humor kills horror.
Yeah,
it's not fun, and it doesn't mean that you can't tell jokes. It's like, we're playing horror, guys, and we need to be deadly serious all the time. You know, it's like, get the stick out of your ass. Yeah, this is important stuff. This game. Yeah, you know, I've been in horror game. In fact, every horror game I've ran, we've told jokes, we've laughed. In fact, you have to. That is part of running the horror genre, because it's about tension, and tension's about going up, and it's about bringing it down at the right points, and it's about bringing it up at the right points, and it's about hitting those sort of marks in the tension. We do a whole show, and we have done a whole show on horror. Humor allows you to cut the tension down a little bit, so it's not always going up, and sometimes the players can do that, and sometimes you can do that. But what I'm talking about is, like, you're running a horror game, and then it turns into frat party time. I mean, you get a joke out there that kind of cuts some of the tension down. You're like, okay, good, good. Now I can start bringing the tension back up. And then they run with the joke. And then they carry on the joke. And then they come up with new jokes. And then it's just like, oh, you know, hey, Pat's playing the girl. We got to rip his shirt off. Ha, 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 ha. Because that's what happens in horror movies. And Pat's like, yeah. And he sounds just like that when he says it.
Yeah, I do.
It's
amazing.
And it just kind of keeps going and going. But they're still going through the story. They're still going through the plot. Now, I don't think that it's necessarily bad in all situations, because I've played in a lot of games, too, where the game was kind of meant to be one way, maybe a little serious, and some much-needed humor was added to it. And the game evolved or changed or transformed into something else. I mean, that's kind of the fun of a role-playing game, is that you're not sitting there stuck watching a movie waiting for the person to open up the door that the killer's behind, and you're screaming at them, don't open the door. The fun of a role-playing game is that you can choose not to open that door. But as we all know, you can affect the role-playing games on much, much deeper levels, to the point to where you can kind of transform a comedy game into a darker, more serious game. Or you can take a darker, more serious game and transform it into a comedy game. Or you can take a game where it's supposed to be very investigative and such and turn it into more of a heist. I mean, we played a Shadowrun game that was a very investigative. It's you and me, Dan, years ago. It's very investigative, very deep plot, very Dan game with, as the Dungeon Master says, your 2,000 pages of notes and all this sort of stuff. And the players turned it into a heist game.
Yeah, you guys decided to rob a bank.
Yeah, we're like, there's like, Dan has a plot and story and plot and characters and story. And we're like, okay, we got to do this to get paid. Well, wait a minute.
Why don't we just rob a bank?
We're already criminals.
And it went, holy crap, did it go downhill from there.
Gloriously terrible.
To the point that I think the only two people that escaped without getting arrested by a Lone Star did so by waiting for an ambulance to show up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what you guys did.
I jumped into the passenger window of the escape car, Dukes of Hazzard style, while it was moving to get away. It was awesome.
And they ripped off an ambulance and drove off in the ambulance, which was their only way of getting away. Yeah, it was... Mm. It went completely sideways. But as you said, the intention was not per se. I mean, I guess in that case, you were kind of off the plot so to speak.
Pretty much.
But the point being, yeah, there is still, on top of that, the issue of the feel of the game had changed because it went from, like you said, it went from an investigative sort of game to a bank robbery.
Fiasco hype game.
It went to
heist game.
Payday.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it depends on the type of GM you are as well. If you don't really care about the feel of the game more than everybody's having fun.
Yeah.
If the group decides that maybe today slapstick comedy is what they want to do, and as long as the plot's moving along, let them do it, then that's kind of how our group runs. It's like one day we'll be really serious, but the next day something sets us off and we're crazy.
Right.
And our GMs are really good about just rolling with it, just dealing with that idea.
I think
that
as a GM, you kind of have to. You have to, especially in a longer ongoing game. You're going to have these peaks and valleys of not good and bad, but you're going to have like more serious, less serious. I find that if the players don't get together very often, like if there's a stretch of a few weeks and then you game, those games are either going to be trying to get into it, but if you can inject some humor into it, it gets a little slap happy, but the game kind of gets going, and then next week can come back.
The way that I have traditionally dealt with this and why I wasn't sure that I could lead this topic is because I've pretty consistently had one of two formula for dealing with this, which is either
throw a temper tantrum.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Throw a book at somebody, point a gun at somebody, you know, that's whatever. Right.
Point a gun at somebody.
The GM gun of discipline.
Yeah. Okay. But no, it's either one is I just tell the person, look, it's this kind of starting to piss me off, you know, let's get back on track. Or two is I'll let it go, but I will treat the whole thing as out of character. That this is like a what if.
It didn't actually happen.
It's like, oh, we do this and all this crazy stuff, and I kick him out the window and whatever's going on. And when it's done, I'm like, okay.
Now
so you guys
really
are back in the office.
I think that the second part where it's the what if is good in some situations and bad in the others.
Well,
it depends on how you're running the game.
I think it's good. And I'll let you tell me the bad. But the reason that I think that's good is because, unlike Formula One, it does not escalate the emotions at the table. Yeah. It lets people have their moment of fun. But at the same time, I'm still able to send a message and bring things back to where I want the game. But everybody still got to have their fun and be silly and talk about how they're going to kick so-and-so out the window. And then somebody pulls the pin and drops a grenade and yells Murphy and it just does all the silly stuff that goes on.
If you run a game like a movie has to be consistent, has to be on point, has to be on message. Because as an audience, you go there and you have certain expectations. Now, there are some very good movies that subvert those expectations, but that's not really the norm. You go to an action movie expecting action, not Jane Eyre. You go see a Jane Eyre type movie expecting Jane Eyre, not Vin Diesel in a car chase. If you're running a game like that, where there's a consistency of message, then, yeah, the what if thing, that's kind of necessary. That's good. You have to let them get it out of their system, and then you have to bring it back to be on message. But if you're running a game that's not like a movie, that is more of a, can't even think of an analogy, collaborative story. We're all telling the story together, I guess. That's not a very good analogy.
The Game Master just has looser reins.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a different style, yeah.
Yeah, then I don't think that's a good thing. Because the players are running with it, and they have evolved the story. Maybe temporarily. But that's kind of where the group dynamic wants to go. That's where the majority wants to go with it thematically.
Right.
They want to be silly. Because maybe they got done in this huge battle in this war and they saw all these civilians died. Maybe they were responsible for the civilians' death. So they need kind of a unicorn chaser game. They need to go back to the bar and deal with that and calm down both in character and out of character.
You know where that works really well is episodic games.
Mm-hmm.
Back in my Star Trek campaign.
Give the swimsuit episode of your Star Trek campaign.
No, it's not some high school anime. It's not Love Hina or whatever.
More's the loss. Oh.
But
I'm in.
When I was running that Star Trek game, there were some episodes of that Star Trek campaign where the missions they went on, the things they encountered were pretty deep, were pretty dark, in some cases were pretty disturbing. Mm-hmm. There were some of them that were more heady, intellectual, you know, they really had to think their way through it. And then there was one where they were trying to rehabilitate a race that had been in stasis for a long period of time, and explain why it'd be a huge gaming story. But they, we'll just leave that. They had been in stasis for a long period of time. And so the idea was, okay, the Federation was going to find them a new home planet and try to rehabilitate them and then see if they wanted to join the Federation and all that kind of stuff. Well, they needed a unicorn chaser, because what had led up to that, the reason this race was in stasis and what was going on was really dark, rather disturbing, and really pushed the group to its edge. And so I decided to let the game just go a little bit silly, and I, as the game master, actually initiated it. This race were these huge, physically imposing creatures. But one of the traits of their society was that clothing was a sign of status. Now, I don't mean the type of clothing.
Just to have.
The lack thereof.
Precisely. And so the leader was deeply offended because of the fact that when the captain beams down with his crew's not naked. And so he, as far as he sees this, they're all pretending to be kings over him because they're wearing more clothing and more elaborate clothing than he is, which I think at the time he'd like wrapped himself like in a shower curtain or something like that. God. And no, it was completely ridiculous. And it would have destroyed the feel of a campaign, but for an episode,
it works great.
Because at the end of all that, you know, it gets silly. It's crazy. It's, you know, and there was some other stuff I did to torment them with this race. And by the time it was done, that episode's over. The ending credits roll and the next episode starts. They get a new transmission from Starfleet and things are headed in a very different direction. They've got to kind of reset that. Whereas in an ongoing campaign, that's going to carry over because that's where you left off and that's where you pick up. That's not going to be, okay, hard break. You're sitting on the bridge and get a transmission from Starfleet.
Well, in a way that you can deal with the silliness of kicking somebody out a window and doing all this crazy stuff and rein it in without being really harsh about it is to create really serious consequences with anything that they do in character, that they want to be in character, like that. You know, like the bank heist makes them so high up on the wanted list in Lone Star they can't even show their faces. You know, things like that. There's ways to rein your group in without being like, stop doing that.
Yeah, well, and I think that points to something else too. You, what you just described is a corrective action that's not immediate, but really has more of kind of a midterm, I wouldn't quite say a long term, but a midterm in mind, because you send the message, you're not stopping them on the spot, but you send the message that, hey, if you guys want to, you know, play Three Stooges, when you hit somebody in the head with a sledgehammer, it doesn't go boonk.
Yeah.
It kills them.
It kills them, right.
Well, and think about this, too. Let's take the Shadowrun example. You had investigative game in mind. You had all this material, and it had a fairly serious tone. We subverted that, not on purpose, but it's just what happened. We were teenagers. We subverted that, and we did bank heist. Sort of Guy Ritchie style Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels type of bank heist sort of thing. Fiasco level bank heist. From that, you could sit there as the GM and say, okay, so that's really the kind of game they want because, you know, I asked them and they said they want investigative, dark, and serious, but this is actually what they're doing. So this is what kind of game they want. But how about we cut the difference? And you're just, this is internal monologue.
Okay.
How about we cut the difference of saying, okay, we're going to have a dark, serious game, but based on the heist sort of setup and the craziness, they're wanted. They are criminals. They're known now. They got away. They escaped. Now they're trying to get out of town. They got to get money to do it. They're making a deal with this crime lord. Crime lord demands money. They got to pull off another heist. Now you set up the heist and you make it really cool. Now you give this crime lord a background. Now he's involved in these mysteries that maybe they got around. You kind of retool it for this sort of thing. And then we're back around. And now it's sort of a hybrid of what they want and what you had planned.
Right.
And so you read the group and you evolve your game to match it.
Yeah, the worst thing you can be in Shadowrun, I realize we don't want to get too setting or system specific here, but the absolute worst thing you can be in Shadowrun, presuming the person running it knows the setting is running it right, is to be known.
Yeah.
If somebody other than your contacts knows your name, knows your face, knows your identity, you are in a lot of trouble.
Right.
Because they will find you and they are more powerful than you.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever they are, it doesn't. It's almost irrelevant to the game.
Yeah.
They will find you, and they are more powerful than you are.
I really think that if your game goes off the rails, look at why it's going off the rails. Is it that's kind of what the players want, or they're trying to adapt the game to what they really want that maybe they haven't vocalized, or are they bored? If they're bored, you got a totally different episode. And there's this great podcast called Fear of the Boot. You should listen to that. And they have all kind of advice on
it's
that.
Okay.
It's all right.
Well, I think you also got to look at is it unique to that moment?
Yeah.
Are they just jacking around because everybody's slap happy?
Oh, they haven't seen each other.
They haven't seen each other too long.
Yeah.
Somebody busted out a bottle of wine. But, you know, there's something.
Somebody didn't bust out a bottle.
That
of wine.
Moment of the plot is just too boring. It's not the campaign as a whole, but that episode's just too boring. And
well, and that's where something to consider as well is that, you know, if you realize that it's external factor that's causing part of this, put the game down and grab something else. You know, grab a card game, grab a board game, and just put that game away and take out something new to take that break. Because, yeah, you're right. They might be bored or they just might be just not into it that evening and just start, you know, naturally screwing around as players and game masters will do. And then, you know, if that's the case, well, then just switch up what you're doing completely for that week.
You got to be careful not to crack the whip. I think that as a game master, if players are going off of your, not the rails of the plot, but the theme, the sort of genre, as we're talking about here, I think the worst thing you can do is just start cracking the whip and say, okay, no, get serious, guys, get serious. Or worse yet, it's a comedy game and they're getting dark. Say, no, guys, you got to make more jokes. You got to get funny. Get funny, guys.
Be funny.
Well, yes.
I know that in our group, we see each other a lot, I guess, but a lot of times we're just getting off work and stuff because it's a weeknight game and so everybody needs some time to be goofy after work.
Yeah.
We actually meet at 6, don't start until 7, and we spend that hour jerking off.
Wow.
Man. I am going to sign up for that game right now.
Not jerking off.
I think I heard you correctly.
You mean jerking around.
Do you do online games?
That too.
No.
Do you have a webcam for your games?
Please.
Wow.
Well, I, you know. Okay. Yeah, wait, we want to hear it. You know, I think we need to do an actual play.
It's going to be the shortest AP in history, but deeply satisfying.
But I think you're right. That as a game master, you don't want to crack the whip. I think even worse than that, it would be getting angry.
Yes.
Because if you get angry at that point, now the whole thing has gone really, really to a bad place.
It's so easy.
And you look like a dick.
It's so easy to get angry at that as a game master.
Yeah, because you're...
It's your baby.
Well, yeah, it's your baby. It's just like, I came here with the story, and it's horror, and it's serious, and... They're not taking my seriousness seriously, and they're not having fun, even though they're having a great time.
Yeah.
It's just like they're not you have to stop, and you have to say, you're not having the fun I intended you to have. And think about how ridiculous that statement is.
Well, I think also, depending on what genre you're playing, what you're going for, like you've used the horror example, but you could also, you know, use any other example. If it's just a straight fantasy game, or if it's the, you know, a sci-fi game, depending on what the players are doing, some of the most fun sessions I've ever had are when we not went off the rails, but we sidetracked.
Yeah,
you know, we sort of took a detour. Let's say, and had sort of a detour session that led to a lot of RP, not necessarily plot forwarding. Not a whole lot, maybe a little bit, but it was very tangential, but it was a lot of fun. But I think one of the challenges that you have to do as a GM, I think, is especially if you feel that it's just not going forward and you need to come back, like in the case of like a horror thing. And I'm not saying this is easy, but I think, you know, what you need to do is you need to be able to immediately sort of do something that's going to click that tension back in.
Yeah.
Like in a horror game.
Lead by example.
Everybody's having fun. They're doing the slapstick, like the frat party example that you're saying. This is a classic horror movie, you know, shtick anyway. You as a GM have to very craftily
kill someone.
Well, or do something. Do something to ratchet it up.
Right.
But not ham fisted per se, but that's why I say it has to be elegant.
Yeah.
But you know, and I'm saying that's a challenge for you guys as GMs, as you know, figure out what you can do and work on that and do it so that will pull them back in. I guarantee you, all of a sudden this will get real. People will say, oh, and they can be on back.
You
want to
know a really great way of doing that? This comes from knowing your players. This is why I'd love to have John in my games, because John's my go-to guy for this sort of stuff. everybody's having fun, everybody's doing this, where it's my horror game, it's my serious game, and it's just like, okay, I need something crazy to happen. But you know what's really crazy? Is if a PC does something crazy, and the PC brings that tension back. And you can do that as a game master by leaning over and whispering to somebody or passing a note. Just say to them, it's just like, you know, hey, everybody's having fun and stuff, and everybody's guards down. You are secretly the killer, or you know who the killer is, or you've gone crazy. You know something about their background, whatever. Maybe not as ham-fisted as they are the killer. And just to say, okay, I want you to activate that aspect of your personality. I want you to do that crazy thing that you have hidden in your background.
Right.
I want you to flip the lights off.
I absolutely agree that the game master can lead by example in a lot of ways. I mean, if you're trying to run a darker game, they're playing slapstick. They push somebody out a window. You slide over a few dice. What's this? That's the damage you just took from falling out a window.
Yeah. Right.
Well, now it's not so funny anymore. You know, we're all sitting there, and I'm going to go and try and hit him in the head with a mallet just to be funny. Okay, it's a horror game. You go to swing the mallet, and as your hand gets close to him, suddenly you realize there's no mallet in your hand. In fact, the mallet's floating behind you where you started the swing.
Ghost pirates.
You know, and now it's coming. I mean, I don't know. But the point is, you can kind of grab things. Look, comedy game, same way.
Oh,
if they're getting too serious in a comedy game,
I would not do a damn thing to stop it. If we are playing a comedy game, like we'll say Paranoia or something, and suddenly it gets deadly serious, that means that it's hard to explain.
Well,
suddenly your level of seriousness out of a comedy game, the expectations are so subverted that it is a really cool thing.
Well, I think it depends on what you want, because
if you're in it for the comedy, you
I would have to agree with you simply because I prefer darker, more serious plots. But if you're the type of person where you wanted a comedy game and that's what you were after, and now you're not getting that, I mean, you can certainly make things go crazy. I mean, once again, in the middle of a Star Trek game, they had some really highly intellectual stuff they had to deal with. They had some really complex stuff. They had some really dark stuff. When you've got a giant ape-like alien yelling at you because your first officer's not naked, it's hard to be super serious. You know, there are things the game master can do simply to lead by example without ever saying anything out of character to the players about what's going on.
And I think you have to be careful with it. I think that you have to make tonal changes to the game that aren't subtle, because everybody has really gone off the ranch here. We're not talking somebody cracked a joke.
But aren't quite as ham-fisted as telling your first officer to get naked.
Yeah. You know, well, not necessarily that, but I mean, you don't want to crack the whip in person by saying, okay, guys, stop joking around. But you also don't want to crack the whip through the game either, because it's just as easy to do that and to be a downer for everybody as well. Somebody gets pushed out the window, you slide the dice over. That's pretty serious. Okay, everybody's serious now. But you slide so many dice over, you put them in the hospital,
or you maim their character.
It's just like, I think Dan's pretty serious, guys. Let's stop joking.
It is a lot about being very cognizant of what the real external mood is that's going on here. It's not necessarily knowing your players, which obviously that does make a difference, but it's also just kind of knowing what's going on around that table and within the game itself. You know, it's, are they in the mood to be joking with this? Are they just really actually not in the mood to play at all, but they're just, you know, they're acting out through the game? You know, what's really going on here? And then, yeah, acting in a manner that's appropriate with what the mood is at the table. You know, whether it is you're trying to steer them back on track because, you know, they're just slightly distracted, or just, you know, closing the books, folding the screen down and saying, you know, all right, let's do something else instead. You know, it really is being aware of what your surroundings are telling you.
Well, I want to thank Chad and Julia for carrying the topic on this one. And I want to thank all of you guys for tuning in. It looks like probably by next episode, we actually may have some hard information on Fear the Con 7.
Yep, that is correct.
They're pretty close to launching the website for that, and we're going to have some details on that. And so anyway, stay tuned for that. Have a great week and great games, and we will catch you next time.
See ya.
This has been a production of Fear the Boot, copyright 2013. Listeners are free to use this show in any non-commercial endeavor as long as credit is provided to feartheboot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at feartheboot.com. Fear the Boot is also a member of the Pulp Gamer Media Network of shows. You can find other great shows in this network at pulpgamer.com.